HRHeadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Brought to you by Irish Life Health.
Okay, so today I'm joined by Paul Slattery. Paul is Managing Director of NextGen Executive Presence. Paul, thanks for joining the HR Headquarters podcast. How are you?
Well, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm 11.
Paul, that's good. I like it. Executive Presence. Right, actually, sorry, just before, let people know what you do and a little bit about yourself.
Well, I have a business, NextGen Executive Presence. We've been operating since the 3rd of March 2003, so we are over 20 years in operation. Well, the original structure of the business was a sales agency, and I had headed up a global sales agency team negotiating strategic negotiations for cloud technology and infrastructure designs and deliveries across a global infrastructure, a global network. And then I started to coach those individuals, start from going to coach them to training, watching presence, see how that all goes. And from there, I got an opportunity to do a small bit of consultancy and mentoring with Enterprise Ireland. After that, our good friends in Michael Smurfit Graduate Business School observed and came to me and said, hey, we'd like to see what you could do with our MBA students. And I'm in my 9th year lecturing into UCD Michael Smurfit Graduate Business School, our executive presence plus our presentation skills for the leadership development program. So a lot of awards and success for the MBA students along the way. And clients come to me for a range of different requirements, from presence of a team in negotiations to individual coaching one-to-one.
Paul, let's start with an easy one then. For people who don't know, what do you consider to be executive presence? What's a good one? Why is it important to have one?
Well, we could start off by saying that it's a skill that you can learn. And what good executive presence, it falls into the area of how comfortable are you in communicating both in person and virtually. Comfortable in your own skin. A lot of senior executives, they've gone a long way to explore their authentic self. What is at the core of them? And we align those core values to their presence. So it's very unique. So when you take your core values and you align those core values to authenticity, because that's who you are, and then communicate those from a place of value, it's called values-based leadership communications. So values-based leadership communications is your authenticity and communicating that authenticity to an audience. If we were looking at presence, presence falls into three areas: visual, verbal, and vocal communications, the three V's. 7% of the words that we say are believed by the audience. 38% are the way that we say those words. And then 55% is our body language. That's the presence of everybody, the three V's. If we align that to our core values, we're at a different level. And that's why presence is different from executive presence, because presence is just the three V's. Now we get into executive presence. So aligning those values, it's very deep. And very unique and very personal.
And you mentioned on your journey you were involved in sales organizations and presence, obviously important in those situations. For your average professional executive, what's the difference between having a good executive presence and a maybe not so good one?
If we go to the not so good one, would be that we think that the 7%, the words that we say, those 7%, we're using filler words, we're using our pace and our tone, ahs and ums, repetitive words lower our credibility. So when people meet you for the very first time, you're gauged on two qualities. Approachability, how approachable are you? It's like the likability factor. Are you a nice person? And then credibility, do you know your stuff? Are you credible? So we've got this approachability on a scale of 1 to 10. and then credibility on a scale of 1 to 10. And if we are using filler words, we're lowering our credibility. And then, so that's the 7%. If we're speaking too fast, we won't engage the audience, and that's going to really hurt our presence. And that's our likability factor, the engagement. Body language, if we're folding our arms, if we're not using hand gestures, that's the 55%, where then we're closed, and we're sending a signal into the audience that we are not open to that audience, not engaged, not open and approachable. So that approachability comes in. Now, that's in where there's bad. On the highest level of executive presence, there are three primary pillars. And it goes into research done by Sylvia and Hewitt, as well as research done and conducted by iSpeak. We are the content distributors and partners with iSpeak in Europe. And so with that research, the three primary pillars that we teach are confidence, approachability, and structure. They align with the pillars of Sylvia and Hewitt, which is gravitas, communication, and appearance. So very aligned, and that's the highest level when we get into, okay, we align your visual, verbal, vocal communications, that's presence. And then we look at how you're communicating through your core values. And then after that, we take you to the next level, which is, anytime I ask anybody around the world, and I've done this for years, what are the three areas, give me one area that you're looking to increase or in your presence or in your presentations, they always fall into those areas. One, I want to increase my confidence, be more confident. Two, I want to engage my audience. Or three, I need better structures. I'm very confident, I'm very engaging, I just don't have the structures.
Paul, I'm going to dig into that now in a second. How do people or companies generally decide they need to get an executive to work with someone like yourself? Like how does that point of no return, for want of a better description, get reached? Or how does it manifest itself? And then suddenly it's like, okay, I need to give Paul a call.
I hate to say it, it depends, because it is unique for every one of our clients. What we're seeing at the moment is, you and I are talking virtually at the moment. However, when we spent 2 to 3 years online, the presence in person, there's executives are really struggling with that at the moment. They were able to put up so many different areas around them that they could hold their notes, that they could do, that they could research information. Now they can't have any of that. They have to command the room. Well, in order to command the room, you have to control your own emotions. And that's extremely difficult if you don't have your notes pinned up somewhere and you're looking at, or you can turn off the camera. Because at the moment, you and I, the way we're talking at the moment, you can see the three V's, visual, verbal, and vocal. And I'm not breaking my eye contact from you. And so if I have a large audience of a couple of hundred or 1,000 people, wow, you better be good without any notes.
And if Paul probably won't tell on me, but I was nodding a lot during that. Very relatable. Yeah, if you had a big meeting, you could have things just out of shot. And Paul, when someone does start working with you, what's the process? What does it look like when they first come to you?
Now, again, we go. I was telling you just before we went live in this recording, we're using AI technology. Artificial intelligence technology at the basic level. We all understand ChatGPT, and if you don't, I highly recommend you go and check it out. ChatGPT gives us that analytical side, and now when we use AI technology, we're getting actual information from our clients as to how they're communicating. That's the baseline. Now, beforehand, I would meet a client, and we would go, and I'd ask them very simply, what would you like to improve? Would you like to improve confidence? And then they go, yeah. Would you like to improve engagement? And then would you like to improve structure? Which is the priority for you? it depends at the journey of which they are at in their career. Some executives have hidden behind a team of people and they've never had to get up and present, and now they're being called to give a keynote speech and they have to. And they'll say, Paul, I'm very structured. I need to engage and I need my confidence. I need to increase my confidence in person. And so it's very, very tailored and unique to their index, to their thumbprint, to the level at which they're at. And they might have a perception. Well, I take them back to core values. They might have a perception of where they lie on a scale of 1 to 10. How do they feel? How confident are they? On a scale of 1 to 10, how approachable or engaging are they? And then on a scale of 1 to 10, how structured they are. And when I take them through our methodologies of how to prepare, gain confidence using the likes of Amy Cuddy's power posturing, simple techniques, mindfulness techniques of breathing and affirmations. And also, we know how great teams perform. They have a routine. Over a course of time, practice makes perfect. So what do they do before they take the stage, before they talk on Zoom? So again, very tailored, very unique. And there's one common, it's those three pillars. And the three pillars are the epicenter of executive presence. And that is that confidence, approachability, and vision. Credibility comes into confidence. So how credible are you? And that's the area of those three pillars. And we work on them over the course of a period of time.
Getting buy-in on your people strategy can often be challenging, but it doesn't have to be. At Irish Life Health, we help HR leaders to unlock insights and make data-driven HR decisions. Join over 2,500 HR leaders who partner with us to help their employees live a healthier life. Search Irish Life Health to find out more. Irish Life Health Act is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
So, Paul, when you talk about those three pillars, and obviously I totally take your point that it's quite individual to whoever you happen to be working with. Is there any of those three pillars, though, that is more common, or that you find yourself working with more people on other than others?
You got it. The one that's important is structure, because structure gives confidence. So if we have a structured methodology and we follow that structured methodology, then we'll have a successful outcome. I can't remember who said it. Knowledge plus skill plus process equals success. Yes, Russ Peterson told me this, and he is the founder of iSpeak. Knowledge, your knowledge of a subject, plus skill, your skill to communicate, plus process equals success. Anyone that's missing, you're unsuccessful, especially process. So structured processes give confidence, and that rises confidence. So I want to get people in a place whereby they follow simple structures all around the rule of three. And we know from research that audiences and individuals like you and me, Declan, we'll only ever remember three things. It goes all the way back to Aristotle in the book, The Rhetoric, the three forms of proof. And so once we have simple structures to remember and follow, that gives us confidence. If before a meeting you have no confidence and we give you those structures and the techniques, you'll fly. Yeah.
So what does a good structure look like, Paul?
The beginning of a presentation, all presentations have a good beginning. And the beginning has to capture the audience's attention, because we know from research that the attention span has dropped over the course of the last few years. In 1976, the average attention span was 17 minutes. Now, I was born in 68. So I remember pressing and the dot in that TV would just stay there as a small white dot, and then it would open up and I'd wait. There is no waiting now. And the latest research, and this is something that our team have been looking at, there's a conflict of what is the actual attention span. Some people are saying it's 8 seconds. Some people are saying it's 6 seconds. So we have a minute, we know it's a lot less than 17 minutes. So grabbing their attention first is the key. After that, you're into credibility. So attention, what's your credibility associated with the information you're sharing? Following after that, the rule of three in the structure of your body, and throughout the whole presentation, engagement and engaging stories. Because we know that if you're in finance or data analytical information, you're sending information in that quadrant of logic, then stories give data soul. And that's the storytelling methodology. And after that, don't end by saying that's it. You have to leave them with something to remember. It's like any movie. You'll get away with a bad start to a movie. The middle might be a bit rocky. You definitely want to have a good ending. So the ending must be memorable. And that, in essence, is the beginning, the middle, and the end of a presentation.
And when you're working with someone, Paul, how do you assess where they currently are?
There are a number of tools that we use. I mentioned AI technology. However, we also have a scoring mechanism that we use to gauge the level at which they are at. And through self-reflection and observation, we as a team, it's very much a team affair with me and my client, or me and the company, maybe a senior executives. And that feedback is a blessing. So that feedback loop is constant. And after that, feedback within the room that they would go, and feedback through observation. So constant before, during, and after that we would see. If they can get the presentations that they're working on recorded, that's even better. So that I'm able to see a keynote that they delivered, and we reflect on where they were. But we always, there's one guarantee, it's the aggregations of marginal gain. That's Bainsford's aggregation of marginal gains with the UK Olympic cycling team. Just those small little changes along the way will impact on the overall result. The one thing that's key, preparation before, same present during, and reflecting after.
Paul, you mentioned artificial intelligence there as we spoke. How are you guys using it?
Back in December, I came across a platform called Udemy, and I contacted the founder, and Aaron is one of the founders there, and they have developed an artificial intelligence platform. That is the drive is to have to help individuals overcome the fear of public speaking. And I found it exceptionally good. I started using it with my one-to-one students, first of all, MBA students, and now I'm putting it through its put it through its tracks, making sure that it's at the right level for executives. So that's one of the platforms. The way in which it's used, we jump on a Zoom call together as a team or an individual. It will analyze the pace of your delivery. It will strip out weak words. We understand that weak words lower our credibility. It will highlight the weak words. Then it's looking at the pace at which your delivery is, plus the eye contact. It's an amazing tool for not just coaching, but interviewing as well, if we're doing interviews together. Strips out all that analytical information, tells me what level of the pace is it, conversational, below conversational, or above conversational. More importantly, it tells us how you could re-script your words. And that's very impactful. What I want to get it to a place is the structures. It's not there yet. I love that word, yet. It will be whereby I will program the structure I want the individual or team to use to open. I will then look at the structure of the body of information of their presentation and put in that structure into the AI platform. and then how they close and at what level I want them to close above or below conversational tone. So we know that below conversational tone is calming. If it's information that we want to deliver, that's compliance, regulatory, HR policies, they should be delivered at a certain tempo. If we're driving sales, motivating individuals and inspiring action above at specific times above the conversational delivery. And that's above 155 words a minute. I love that it's giving me that information because I wouldn't get that. I can hear it and I could intrinsically know you're inspiring me, but now I've got the data to back it all up. And it's given me some great insights. And like I said, Declan, I will use what we're saying to give, to guide me through how I could improve myself to talk at these interviews and podcasts of the future. So like they say, in order to get mastery, you have to keep on practicing. So even I have to keep on observing and giving myself feedback. But not only that, I will share it with our other master coaches at iSpeak and the team.
Yeah, it's fascinating. I had never really thought of it before that, you know, obviously depending on what your the outcome of the presentation is may depend on the tempo. What are weak words or what sort of things are would people commonly, I know fillers, for example, which I'm probably doing as I utter this statement, but what are weak words?
In research that was conducted by not just Harvard, but we wrote an ebook on words and phraseology that is positive and weak, or it's not engaging. Words like just, I'm just the project manager here. We're just going to achieve our targets. They're weak words. And basically is a weak word, supposedly is a weak word. I think, although it sounds convincing and that you might seem as an expert, I believe or I feel is more persuasive. And those words have an impact on our audience. Instead of saying the word problem, yes, situation will be better. Problem is direct and it'll have elicit a negative connotation, whereas we find ourselves in a bit of a situation. I'd mention to you as an entrepreneur, entrepreneurs are in three states. One, they're at the start of crisis, in the middle of crisis, or coming out of crisis. So that's the situation. But I said, we have a problem. We're in crisis. The team would react differently to say, it's a bit of a situation that we're experiencing. Instead of saying negotiate, we've got to look at better way to say is to discuss or review. Negotiate would probably put a bit of pressure on the other party. We've got to look at those words. So that's weak and positive words, and there's an army of them.
What can people do who are listening to improve how their executive presence is?
I would say the very first thing is you want to want to improve. It's a little bit like the pizza delivery guy goes to deliver a pizza to the Dalai Lama. And the Dalai Lama opens the door up and he gives 20 bucks to the pizza delivery guy. He gets the pizza. The pizza delivery guy turns on his heels and walks away. And the Dalai Lama says, hey, where's my change? And the pizza delivery guy says, well, you should know better because you have to want to change. So you have to want executive presence, okay? You got to want to improve the characteristics you know inside that you're struggling. And if you want to improve, you just have to want to have executive presence. And we just think that, okay, now you want it. Let's now work on basics. Practice, practice, practice. And you've heard that all before. I mean recording yourself. Yes, use a platform like an AI platform like Udly and send up your video into that platform. You're going to get instant feedback and then you're going to go, okay, I definitely know I've got to change because it's impacting my presence. And your brand is your name and your name is associated with presence. And after that, you've got to look at simple things like the area of opening and grabbing their attention and closing with something to remember. Apart from that, you might want to just reach out to a coach, a friend, a confidant internally to give you that feedback. And it's like feedback is a blessing. You got to just take the feedback. Feedback is 99% opinion and 1% truth. The truth is on the camera. Record yourself and you'll be in a much better place.
Brilliant. Paul, thank you so much for your time today. I think it's a fascinating area. I have to admit it's a little bit more science behind it than I would have perceived. If people would like to maybe work with NextGen or yourself, what's the best way to get in contact?
Absolutely. Go to our website, nextgen.ie. Reach out to us on email, info@nextgen.ie.
Brilliant. And we'll link all of that below the podcast. Paul, thank you so much.
HRheadquarters.ie, the podcast.
Brought to you by Irish Life Health.